Peace of Christ be with you. Who's ready for spring break? We're going to have. I can feel it. I can feel it in you. You're feeling it. I can just, when you're a little tired and fatigued, one of the things we do is we adore God and worship. I want to invite you to the gathering this Sunday where we're going to have a praise and adoration service. It's just going to be a night of singing. And in order to kind of highlight that, we're going to be selling a limited edition of the CDs of this year called Fairer. For this kind of our audio yearbook for chapel for the year, but there'll be 300 of these that are available for sale on Sunday night. So we want to invite you all to come out just for a night of just praising God and worshiping together. One other notice real quick, one of our beloved here, Drew Sherman. Drew, stand up real quick. Drew is 25 years old today. Give a wave. Yeah, it's one of our people. I said we give a little shout out. One of the things that makes Hope special, one of the reasons why I love Hope is the people. The people that God collects in a place. All of you, the administration, our beloved faculty, our staff, just a wonderful constellation of people. It's my joy to introduce one of those people who I deeply love and who's been a significant part of our ministry here at Hope College. Matt Mulder, who's a student at Western Seminary right now. He's works at Pillar Church and also kind of coordinates with our office just to walk alongside people. And Matt is on his way out to Seattle after this year. So this is kind of one of his last public things in this chapel. And Matt, I want to say I love you and you're a dear friend and excited for what God's going to say. Awesome. Give Matt some love. Come on.
Trigger has me crying up here. This is not a great way to start. It's actually a wonderful way to start. I'll just follow that up by quickly saying thank you. It's a really incredible thing for you seniors who are going to graduate here in a couple months. You guys are probably like, praise God. Maybe not. The first 3 or 4 years out are huge, and you learn a ton. And so to be a part of this community with you has been such a blessing to me. And I just want to thank you all so, so much. You truly have loved me well. So thank you. I invite you to grab your Bible or a pew Bible if you'd like to. If that's not you and you just want to sit back and hear these words, let them wash over you, you can do that too. James 4, verses 1 to 10. I believe it's page 989. James 4, 1 to 10. Hear these words from James. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from the cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. You covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not receive because you ask wrongly, wanting to spend what you get on your own pleasures. Adulterers. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it's for nothing that Scripture says, God yearns jealously for the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives all the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mournings and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. Or something like that. It's a tough word to hear on a Wednesday morning. But I promise it's a good word. And hopefully in 10 minutes or so, you'll experience that goodness for yourself. Our time is short, so just two invitations this morning. First, the invitation to be honest. Second, the invitation to live humbly. Easy enough? The invitation to be honest. James starts by writing, those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do Do they not come from the cravings that are at war within you? I was hanging out with a Bible study I'm a part of here on campus last week. I shared this text with them, hoping for a little input. My friend Christian decided to look up the word craving in the Greek. It's a good thing he did it, because I didn't do so well in Greek at seminary. You can blame him for where this is going to take us. Here's what it sounds like in the Greek. It sounds like edone. Can you say that with me? Edone. Nice work. Here's what it means. It means to lust after. It means to satisfy your physical appetite at the expense of the other. Unfortunately, this is what the Greek does for you. First, you hear the word craving, and I think about like the Snickers bar I'm craving. Paul Borsma is probably thinking about the round of golf that he's craving, right? I'm sure all of you are craving spring break. Let it come, Lord, please. And then you look into the Greek and you quickly realize that we're not craving chocolate anymore. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something a little bit deeper, something that digs deeper. James goes on to write, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Now, I can't speak for you. But if I'm honest with myself, when I hear these words, well, at first I might want to fight back and say, no, Jesus, that's not me. The reality is, it is me. Almost every day I choose the world instead of choosing God. This morning we're invited to be honest about the cravings that are at war within us, those cravings for the world, those cravings that get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. But if you're anything like me, it can be really hard to be honest. And it can be really hard to be vulnerable. Have any of you read the book Scary Close by Donald Miller? Anybody? A little? Give me some hands, a little bit. I read it last year, and it really helped to open me up to this idea of being a little more honest, a little bit more vulnerable. Here's how Don starts the book. He writes, "Somebody once told me, we will never feel loved until we drop the act. Until we're willing to show our true selves to the people around us. When I heard that, I knew it was true. I'd spent a good bit of my life as an actor getting people to clap, but the applause only made me want more applause. I didn't act in a theater or anything. I'm talking about real life. The thought of not acting pressed on me like a terror. Can we really trust people to love us just as we are? Nobody steps onto a stage and gets a standing ovation for being human. You have to sing or dance or do something. I think that's the difference between being loved and making people clap, though. Love can't be earned. It can only be given." I love that last line. Love can't be earned. It can only be given. Now, while Don is writing about our relationships with each other, with people, I wonder if what he says isn't also true about our relationship with God. I wonder if what often keeps us from experiencing God's love is our inability to be completely honest with him. I wonder if what keeps us from experiencing God's love is this shame that we feel and that we experience because of that war with our cravings, the war that I so often lose. There's a difference between guilt and shame. Just a small clarification, bear with me. Guilt says to you, what you did isn't enough. What you do is not enough. Okay, it's actually helpful. Because you guys have felt guilty before, I'd guess, right? Guilt points you towards what's right, what's true. It's a moral compass. Shame, on the other hand, is entirely different. Shame says, who you are isn't enough. Who I am isn't enough. That digs at your identity, the identity that God gives you. And so I wonder if that's why James just names the reality right out there in the open for all of us to deal with. Those cravings that are at war within you. Those ones right there. You're craving for porn because the world says that's normal sexuality. You're craving to look thin because that's what the world says is beautiful. You're craving to get the most likes, make the most money because the world says that's where your worth is found. In some way, shape, or form, every single one of us has a war going on inside of us, and so often, instead of being honest with ourselves and with God, we cover it up. We put a smile on, right? You might know about this. I'm all good. I got it. Deep down in the depths of our spirit, we're ashamed. I'm not enough. But we do everything we can to ignore it, and instead we say, I've got it, God. I can earn my own applause. I can say the right things. I can do the right things. I can wear the right things. No, really, Jesus, I don't need you. I've got this one. But that, my friends, is pride. We cover up our shame, the shame that's constantly whispering, you're not enough, with pride. Pride that says, I can do it on my own. I'm more than enough. But here's the amazing thing, and this truly is amazing. We so often think that we have to have it all together to come to Jesus, right? But here's the amazing thing. That's not what Jesus wants. That's not actually what God desires. You see, James reminds us that God desires for us to be humble. He writes, do you suppose that it's for nothing that Scripture says, God yearns jealously for the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives all the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, God invites us this morning to live humbly. But if you're anything like me, I'm from West Michigan, what the heck does it mean to be humble? That's a hard one. Last week, I was working on this chapel, actually, and Jerry Root texted me. Rooter helps out with campus ministries. He often holds the door in the back for you guys when you walk in. And I want to share with you what he texted me because I think it points us towards humility. Here's what he said. As my brother in Christ, I'm asking for your prayers. Tomorrow night, I'll be talking over the phone to someone who has said she's an atheist but is beginning to ask questions. I believe her heart is softening to hear the voice of God. Pray that she will begin to understand that faith isn't something she gets on her own by trying, but rather a gift given by God, and she will receive it if she asks. Pray that God will put the words in my mouth. This is humbling and exciting stuff. I think Reuter's onto something. What did he say? He said, pray that she will begin to understand that faith isn't something she gets on her own by trying, but rather a gift from God. This is humbling and exciting stuff. You see, to live humbly is to live with the realization that Jesus' love is a gift from God. To live humbly is to live with a spirit of gratitude birthed out of the reality that Jesus Christ, in all of your messiness and all of our brokenness, thinks you're still worth dying for. You can't help but be humbled when you realize that even though shame does everything to prove to you you're not worth it, Jesus gave his life for you because he believes you're worth everything. Shame whispers, you're not worth it. Jesus whispers, you are worth everything. This morning together, we're invited to be honest about our struggle with the cravings for this world, because they're a reality. And we're invited to live humbly, knowing that while shame is whispering, you're not worth it, he couldn't possibly love you, Jesus proclaims, I love you so much that you are worth everything. This, my friends, is the most amazing thing. This is the gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace and have a wonderful day.